Big part of the debate this week, almost the entirety of debate on the Senate floor this week, Senator, was on Senate Bill 493, which several things have been added to this bill, but the root of the bill is school transfers.
That's right. It began that way. Actually, a lot of work was done with that bill in committee before it ever made it out of committee. So a lot of things were added there. The bill began with the pressure that is on school districts in St. Louis and Kansas City, particularly where you have districts that are either unaccredited or provisionally accredited and soon to be unaccredited, giving those students some kind of an option other than just continuing to be in failed schools or school districts, and then the society having to kind of pick up the cost of them not ever really being educated. You know, some of them graduate without really being able to read, and that to me is one of the most fundamental aspects of learning. If we don't teach a child anything else, we need to teach them how to read and how to count. And if we can do those two things, many children can actually learn just about everything else on their own. But if they're not learning that, then it's obviously the education system has failed them. Because of some court rulings and some legislation that in past years, those failed districts were required to offer other schools to their students. And that included transporting those students to some degree. I guess it was DESE that actually had kind of made the arbitrary decision that the way they would interpret that would be school would have to pick one district and say they would offer transportation to that school, and any other schools, the students would have to provide their own transportation. So there was a large effort to come up with a way to manage those transfers so that they wouldn't just automatically bankrupt a school, but it would have at least the opportunity to try to recover and build back its staff and, you know, the teachers, and actually start educating kids. In committee, it was decided by a number of us that we really needed to get some school reforms as we repaired that problem. And so a number of reforms were added, and then there were others that were either added or attempts were made to add them on the floor. One that I had hoped to add to Senate Bill 493 but was unable to because I didn't get the necessary votes to attach it was to allow virtual schools as one of the alternatives for these failed schools. Virtual school has become a really valuable part of a lot of states' education exercise. We actually have the ability to do virtual schooling in Missouri. We passed legislation back when I was in the House that authorized programs of virtual education. Those, though, were funded with line items in the budget. Governor Nixon chose to line essentially all of that money out, and so it killed the program. The crux of the amendment that I had offered for 493 was to establish a funding mechanism to confine the virtual education options to either the failed districts or the counties surrounding those failed districts, and then to open that up to the schools to engage companies if they didn't want to offer their own virtual education, engage third parties, vendors, and pay them for providing virtual schools to their students. It would have, I think, been a real benefit, certainly in transportation costs, because there would be no transportation costs if a student wanted to enroll in virtual schools. It would have been subject to the same testing requirements as the public schools. The students would have continued to be public school students. They would have been engaging that option through the local administrations. Everything to me looked like it was real positive, but for some reason I was not able to convince all of my colleagues of that, and so we lost that. Another modification I would have liked to have made on the floor was to add the A through F grading system to each of our schools. That's been done by a number of other states. In every state where schools end up with a grade, an A through F grade, what we find is that the schools improve significantly. Florida was one of the first states to do that. In a fairly few number of years, their schools went from about three quarters below average, in other words, C or D's, to more than three quarters A's and B's in those schools. And in that time period, they actually raised their requirements on those grading. They raised the standards twice. So we've seen some real positive responses from that. The public education institution is adamantly opposed to it. They feel like it oversimplifies what they do, but it engages parents in the education process. And it's been positive every place it's been done. And we were proposing to actually use the DESE numbers and just translate those into grades. And so we would use their evaluation numbers, translate those into grades, and the parents would be advised of those grades. I did not offer that amendment. And the reason I didn't offer it was because I was advised by staff of the Senate that the bill sponsor would lay the bill over and would not pursue it if that was attached to it. And we did not want to kill the bill, and we also did not want to lose that amendment. So it was my decision not to add it. One amendment that was added that I think will help rural districts is an amendment to set in place a simple procedure whereby schools can share superintendents. So if you have small rural schools, and I have a lot of those in my district, and they're trying to manage their expenses, that they don't have to have a superintendent and three principals or four principals or whatever it is, they could actually share a superintendent, and that superintendent could superintend several schools. Charter schools do this now. They'll have two or three or more schools and one superintendent. So we know it can be done, and we know that it will save money, and we know that some of these smaller schools would probably like to do that, but there was no procedure for them to. Now there will be if this bill passes the House and then is signed by the governor. Other than that, there are a lot of other things in Senate Bill 493. Constituents can go online and can look the bill up and can read the summaries and read the final bill, which we'll be voting on today for third read, and I'd encourage them to do that.